This is Ansel Doing It podcast. We're two queer Latinx besties navigating academia and trying to stay sane in the process. Each week, we talk about identity, relationships, astrology, and mental health.
Join us as we figure out how to stay on top of our lives, our horoscopes, and our own self-work in these borderlands.
Hey, friend.
Hey.
Or should I say, we have a doctor in the house. Hi, Dr. Jack Caravez.
Hello. Hello. Hello to all the non-doctors.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding.
Jack likes to do this thing now where it's like, H is doctor now.
Not even.
Only in a couple times.
Only with my friends.
We only do it to each other.
Yeah, not with the general public. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel real. We could talk about it, but
yeah, that's real.
It's very fresh and new and doesn't feel real at all.
Yeah, when you work something towards something for so long and then it finally happens, it's almost like not underwhelming, but it definitely is a little shook.
Yeah.
It shakes you, sorry.
Yeah. It shook me.
It shaked me.
It shakes me. It's currently shaking me.
You know, yeah, what we're talking about.
I mean, you know, I haven't had a lot of time to process. It still has been almost a week since my dissertation defense. And
woo!
Yeah. So when I officially became a doctor.
Yes.
And it went really well.
I'm going to hold for applause here. I'm going to insert applause right at this part.
But it went really well. And I think, you know, when you're at the point of being at a defense, like 99% of the time, you know that it's going to go well, that you're going to pass because your advisor and your committee wouldn't let you get to that point.
Stopped you before that, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you set up your defense date if you weren't ready or if they didn't essentially know that you were going to pass, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And so I knew it was going to go well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still had to prepare and I still had to, you know, get my shit together. But ultimately, yeah, like I said, I haven't had, even though it's been almost a week, I haven't had a lot of time to process, I think, because also something that I didn't really take into account that I learned after submitting my dissertation is just the exhaustion that kicks in after. Excuse me, you do, like you're saying.
The 7-year-old exhaustion.
Yeah. You do something for so long, and you put so much of yourself into something, as we all do, right? And that's just part of the process, right? Of every step of the way, having to put so much of yourself into something. But I think that at this stage, I think it also doesn't even feel real because it just feels like, oh, it's just another thing I had to do on this journey to get my PhD.
Honestly.
And at this point, you know, and I think I've already told you about this, Angelica, but at this point, I'm like, the fact that I finished my dissertation is a bigger accomplishment and like a bigger feat for me that I've like overcome and triumphed over. The PhD and the letters, yes, they're important, and I probably will feel differently after I finally process all of this, but for me it's just like, oh my God, I finished my dissertation.
That's such a huge thing.
Like, it seemed honestly so impossible for me to just finish and write my dissertation, especially because for me, I knew that I needed external circumstances to push me and motivate me towards finishing, like having a job waiting for me in the fall.
What better fire under your ass than an actual job?
And it's so funny because my brothers are always like, you work so well under pressure. And I'm like, yes, but it's not good for my mental health.
Right. I'm like, I'm learning from all the therapy I've done that it's not a good thing because it's like a survival mode, right?
Right. It's like I'm constantly in fight or flight with this fire under my ass. But anyway, like, I mean, I am, you know, and I was also sharing this with some of my friends that, like, you know, usually I put so much of myself into something and then mm-hmm. I complete the thing and then I feel almost like, you know, you're like at such a high when you finish something, whatever it is, mm-hmm. submitting a paper, accomplishing a goal, however big or small, right?
Right, right.
And I feel like for me, I've usually felt like really depleted afterwards.
Really, you really go beyond empty. On it. Like you give everything you have.
And then I just go down like in a downward slope after it's over.
You have to be rolled out of the place.
Yeah. And so like this was different though. This was mm-hmm. very different. I don't feel empty. I've been feeling kind of nostalgic. Mostly really? Because of, you know, graduation and yeah. me getting through my defense really meant that this was me finishing, right? Once I became a doctor, I am no longer a part of this space. And
it's a lot.
Which is, we can talk more about because it's a toxic space, graduate school, but also
such a Stockholm Syndrome conversation.
Right, exactly. Like, it's such a shitty place to be, but also in this shit, we've created such a beautiful
yeah.
community together, right?
And I think there's also the reality of, like, this campus. Like, I think a lot about physical space.
Mm-hmm.
And this campus has corners of it that have memories to them, right? So, like,
yeah.
There's that part where we've had some healing circles. Shout out to Silky. There's a part of campus where we like had a particularly good conversation. Like, I think a lot about that. Like, I really believe that places hold memory.
Mm-hmm.
And that campus had nasty memories attached for sure.
Oh, so many of them.
But there's also so many good memories in that campus, right?
Yeah. And I think yeah. with me, I really... And it's so funny, right? Because after my defense last week, we went out to lunch. To dinner
mm-hmm.
With a few close of us, like in my cohort. And
can you talk about what happened after your defense? Because I think that's where the fun really started.
I don't know if we're ready to talk about
that. We just had a great time.
But I think what yeah. I was going to say that when we went to dinner after my defense, you know, all of my friends were waiting for me, like mm-hmm. Angelica, Silvia, Liana, who we constantly talk about, and a few other folks as well who are in our program.
Yeah, yeah.
And our friend Lauren came. And so anyway, it was so nice because like all these people were waiting for me to finish and were like, I had my little fan club cheerleaders.
You really do, all the time.
Waiting for me in the other room outside of the where my defense was happening. And anyway, so we were going to dinner, or we were at dinner, and we're kind of like reminiscing, right, on our first couple years and how horrible they were. And I literally was like, how did I forget all of this? Like, I had legitimately have tried to erase all the negative memories.
There were some things that people said that I had completely blocked out.
I had totally blocked that trauma. Yes. No, I'm talking about trauma, right? That was inflicted upon us, especially those of us who were in the part of this first cohort really went through some really deep shit that I won't even get into, but really fucked up, toxic
things.
Yeah. And things that come with coming into a new program where you're the first group of students kind of paving the way and whatever. So like I legit as
lonely at the top,
as one of our friends was like sharing as we're reminiscing on like things that happened in year one and year two, I was like, oh my God, I have never thought about that.
Yeah.
Or I hadn't thought about that in so many years that I forgot it happened. No wonder. I only have positive memories. It's the positive memories and the positive relationships that have really
kept you going,
kept me and held me up and kept me going to be at this place. And like, you know, I mean, and I think it's important to remember the shitty parts because
absolutely,
because then we can like, for me, I think it's easy to just be optimistic and be like, oh, like I loved grad school or something, even though it was, but it's like that Stockholm syndrome, right? Like, but anyway, so for me, like, you know,
nos acostumbramos a la mala vida, you know?
Eso sí, you know? I mean, when you come from a broken home, you only know what brokenness feels like.
And you're comfortable in it. I mean, that's the part where
you learn how to thrive in it.
Honestly.
Which is the scary part, but, you know, but ultimately, and I think that's why... and people have also told, not just me, but like our group of friends, right? Like what we have is not a common experience in terms of having the support, the affirming community that we've created to be able to be surrounded by folks who have had similar experiences in terms of where we come from, our backgrounds,
first gen. The amount of accountability we have with each other at this stage in the PhD is really rare. Most folks are by themselves at this point, if not have been for years, right? Like, and writing.
I think all of that supersedes all the shitty parts, right? And this is why we're all still here.
Yeah.
This is why we're all still here 7 years later. And, you know, and
what's that song that our friend always sings, the Mary J. Blige song?
It's like, 11 years. I sacrificed. I should have left your ass a long time ago.
Or something like that.
That Mary J. Blige. Anyhow.
She was like, I'm going to sing that to our grad program.
Anyway, but yeah, so like I said, it hasn't sunk in, but
it's okay.
It's a big deal. I'm really, I think graduation will also make it feel more real.
Oh, you're gonna cry so much that day. Can I wait to bring the Kleenex?
I know.
I really will.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think this is something we wanted to talk about. I think Angelica and I were talking about this before, and you brought up this like graduation season in spring and like all these transitions and so many people are graduating and ending chapters of their lives or volumes of their lives and like starting new chapters and
entire dissertations worth of
things. But I think, you know, for me, like I said, I think I'm still in awe of the fact that I was able to put together a dissertation, complete it, and do a good job.
Can we talk about why that part felt more big? Wow, my words tonight.
That it's late, y'all.
I know.
Just FYI, we're recording really late.
Because we had a lot of fun today and procrastinated recording, but I love it. That's our process. Honestly, I want to go back to that because I think a lot about writing being the main thing that you're responsible to do to finish your program, right? There's a lot of hurdles we have to pass.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those hurdles involve writing, and there's really intense writing.
Yeah. And
that's why it felt so good. I'm
assuming. Yeah. And, you know, I think we actually, I know our last episode was many, many moons ago.
I know. Throwback. But
thank y'all for your patience.
Thank you.
Also,
we should have started.
That's what
there.
I meant to start with.
But we thank got you carried so much. Away.
Thank y'all for being so supportive and so understanding, because most of the reason why we haven't recorded is because of me.
It's okay.
But because I've been, you know, really in the writing and getting to these really major deadlines or milestones,
ever.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and I think I know I talked about it in our last episode in terms of like writing and because my friend, I know my friend Felicia listens, who lives in Chiapas. So hi Felicia, but
hi Felicia.
So she had messaged me on Instagram and was like, I appreciated what you said or whatever, because she's also working on her dissertation out there.
That's amazing. Hi Felicia.
And so she, because what I shared about was like the only way you do the writing is facing it, right?
We're on the same page.
And that was the thing, you know, that it's like, I think for me, and we both of us have had this conversation, because I think for us, I think we have this common struggle, whereas a lot of our friends don't have this struggle. They have different struggles,
right?
At this stage of the game
to carry.
But I think Angelica and I really can relate over like the fear and the paralyzing feelings around writing.
I think
we deal with those things differently, but I think what I've come to learn, and I think we probably even talked about it, but is like, before I used to have so much anxiety because I was so worried about being perfect, about
like
writing,
every sentence,
about
I remember you said
every sentence, what am I gonna say?
Trying Virgo to, thing too, to like over
right overthink.
Overanalyze.
I did it too.
And the imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah, totally. So then getting to a place where, you know, getting to a place where it was like, you know, I was in a place also because I had a dissertation fellowship, you know, that I didn't have to teach. I didn't have another job. I didn't have no side hustle. I had
just that.
Like, the only thing I had was to write.
That's a blessing and a curse.
A blessing and a curse, definitely. Because it's at that point, it's like, you can't run away from this shit anymore. And I think before, every year of grad school, I've TA'd. And even I remember the year I had one year I had fellowship, I still worked a job where I had to teach multiple times and this and that. And I think I used these external circumstances as a way to
procrastinate
and to distract me and to be like, oh, I'm so tired or I'm so busy, so I can't do this.
Yeah.
So now I couldn't like rely on those things because like I wasn't even busy, or I'm not even busy. It's just like all I have is me, my thoughts, and my Word document.
Damn, that should be a shirt. Instead of me, myself, and I, it's me, my thoughts, and my Word doc. That's going to be our merch.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and even along the way, I was just like, even judging myself, even as I was doing this, I was facing my dissertation every day. But every day, and I need to be really honest about this, because and when I was in it, it felt like I still wasn't doing a good enough job, or it was still felt
funky.
Like,
but you still did it.
Yeah. Like, I remember one time one of our friend or a friend of mine was like, oh yeah, I wrote 20 pages this week. And I just, one, started comparing myself to this person and was just like, wow, like, why can't I do this? Like, what am I doing? Like, why is this so hard for me?
It's anxiety inducing.
It's anxiety inducing. I'm comparing myself. I love to do that. And then, realizing that, like, by the end of the week, I had to produce 14 pages, right? Like that specific week, right? Like, and that's the thing. I wasn't keeping track of how many pages I was writing, just because that's not how I function.
You showed up.
But yeah, it's like, it just comes back to that. It's like every day I showed up, and most days didn't feel like triumphant or victorious or like, I did that shit.
Yeah.
Most days were like, I don't want to show up.
I remember so vividly that when you were in the trenches of like finishing up a chapter or, you know, whatever in the last few months, it was always like, man, I wrote today, but I'm so tired. I remember one particular time, and we don't want to glorify overwork or working a lot. I think this is just what was happening at the time for this deadline you had to meet. But I remember one time, like, you had been writing for a long time that day, and you were just like, my eyes hurt, like, I'm super tired. Your back was starting to give out, like, everything was breaking down, right? Because, you know, it's, you can't push your body exhausting. This way.
And also through this process, I learned why agronomic stuff exists, but also I don't have any of that shit. So, like, in the fall, when I start my job, I'm definitely going to invest
ergonomic mouse.
The desk that moves up and down. I'm going to get me one of those.
It's expensive to like not fuck up your body because you have to buy all this equipment.
So yeah, so literally like my knees hurt from sitting, my shoulders hurt, my fucking arm bones, like I have tendonitis. I've developed tendonitis. Is that what it's called? I think carpal tunnel.
Saying all your scars from grad school, huh?
Yeah. No, it's not fucking pretty, and that's
my
the
left
thing.
Eye is like I can't see that well anymore.
And that's the thing. But I asked for this, right? I knew I was gonna write this fucking dissertation and face my fears was through having a job lined up. So I got a job. So that meant I had to finish my dissertation these last six months, right? I had to write two chapters, two full-on analysis chapters, and then my conclusion in the last 6 months, plus edit the whole, all the five chapters.
Wow. Don't try this at home, kids.
Really, do not. And my advisor, Lacey, kept telling me and all her other advisees, like, don't do this. I did this. I do not recommend it. You can do it, but I don't recommend it.
No.
And now I understand because of the physical impact it really takes on you. Emotional too. And I had to kind of check out of the rest of the parts of my life because, you know, not fully, you know, I still went to see movies and like I went to go see the Avengers movie. And like,
what do you call it? Avengers?
Avengers.
You call it Avengers. I love it.
And, like, I still went to go do things, and I still, you know, took care of myself in other ways, and I was still chanting, and I was still walking around, but, you know, so much of my time was me sitting in front of my computer. Yeah. And, of course, as the deadline got closer, that became more of my reality. So so I think that's why for me, and I think that that's the real key for me, you know, and everybody's journey is different. For me, I was so afraid of writing because of the imposter syndrome and feeling that, one, I couldn't do it. It seemed like such an impossible task because I just, you know, for me, my biggest obstacle is my brain and my thoughts and the doubts that I have that I'm not smart enough or that I don't have anything to contribute, which is so...
That's not true, but...
No, it's not true. And it also really takes away from the work and makes it more about me than about the actual contributions that I'm trying to make. And so, you know, I think through this process, like, and I think I'm somebody who has throughout my life tried to be as invisible as possible, that having to write a dissertation and having to really put your thoughts onto paper and have those, like,
it's literally this becomes
a, it becomes a document, an archive, right? Like, it's an archive of what you were thinking in that moment.
And you attach your name to it.
Right. And it's like people can come back to it. So I think for somebody who had learned, as for me, who had learned that the easiest way to navigate through life was to be invisible, to then take on a career where you have to fully be confident
in yourself out there
in yourself and put yourself out there constantly through the teaching, through the writing, and through again that it, I mean, I was talking about this with my therapist, but she was telling me, and I remember this, so like this will always stick with me, but she was like, every word you write is like every word that you write is what was the word she used, like
persistence.
Every word that I write is like changing the my belief system.
Oh girl.
And in my in the way I think about it is like every word that I write is changing my karma. Right? And thinking about it in Buddhist terms, in terms of like every word that I write is getting rid of these negative beliefs I have about myself.
Yeah.
And so I learned through the process, I became somebody who I felt not just invisible, but learned to be quiet, that through this process, my voice got louder.
Like you wrote yourself out of that.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. I literally wrote myself in. Right. I wrote myself into this thing. And so by the end, the writing got easier. The thinking got easier, and it's still challenging. And so like, you know, like these doubts don't go away, but those voices have gotten smaller in that process.
Oh yeah.
And so it's just like any practice, right? Like working out or like, you know,
consistency is key, but nobody wants to hear that, right? Like nobody wants to hear do this 4 times a week and then you'll be good. Cause I think being consistent with anything is hard.
Right.
Because you have to show up in a way that you haven't shown up before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why most things that take work, take practice, take a long time. And they're not easy.
And honestly,
I think... And you won't feel great the whole time.
Right. And this is... And I think this is why a lot of people don't have PhDs because
well, there's a lot of reasons.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, right?
But
But I think this is why I can totally understand why somebody would quit, because this was the first time in my whole graduate trajectory that, because before it was just like taking on the trauma. Okay, I'm coping, whatever. PTSD. But at this point, it's like, oh man, I've never experienced so many moments where I just wanted to quit. And the closer I got to the finish line, the bigger the feeling of wanting to quit got. But it's like every day just coming back to this, just like, and you know, this for me, this is where my practice came in. And like every day I'd have to go and chant and chant about like grounding myself and remembering why I'm here, the community that I'm here for, mm-hmm. talking about, like sharing the stories of the trans people who trusted me, the trans Latinx folks that trusted me with their stories, with their narratives, with their trauma, with their triumphs, with their resilience. And like, I think, and really just chanting in appreciation for them and just really trying to convey the stories that they told me in a way that was like sharing their truths, but also sharing their resistance and their resilience. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when I could cut through the chaos and the negativity in my mind and I could come back to that, that is what kept me going. And if I wrote one sentence, that was fine. Or if I wrote five pages, that was fine. Mm-hmm. But it was like constantly coming, like remembering essentially why I'm here and who I'm here for, right? And then, of course, that being my prayer being then supplemented too by like the people that I had in my life, right? Right, friends, but then, and I really got to give a shout out to Anisha because she fucking, she read my dissertation, edited the shit out of my dissertation, helped me think through a lot of the things that I was getting stuck on with the writing.
That's right. Shout out to Fem Labor.
Yes, like she did so much Fem Labor and just so much labor in terms of this, right? I mean, so much editing. She's, I think
partners do so much labor. Yes. Yeah.
Because it was just like, and that's the thing, writing isn't just writing.
No.
Right? Yeah. Like there were so many moments I had to talk to Anisha or to other friends about what I'm thinking, or when you're stuck somewhere, like asking for help. So like in any life situation, like these are all skills that apply, right?
Ask for
any difficult situation, ask for help, ground yourself.
Find someone who can help you, right?
Right.
For us, that's editors, because we're basically training to be writers, professional writers.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have things we write about that are different, but we're all going to have to rely on folks who edit writing for a living. And that's such a lesson in like how it doesn't just take you, your one person, right, to do one thing, to do this big thing. Because I feel like sometimes at the end of the day, you do get the degree and it's your PhD, but there's so many people
that go
into that degree. It's, you know, it's years worth of like investment and just like community of people. Like, I really want to say that maybe for first gen grads of color and Black grads, like our degrees are so much an accumulation of like a village, right? It really does take a village.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, for you, like you're just kind of vocalizing that. Like there's so many folks that contributed to this accomplishment that essentially like damn, like generations even, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's where I've kind of been post defense, right? In this last week, this is a nostalgia of thinking like I definitely did not do this on my own. You know, I would not be here without my friends. I would not be here without my family. I would not be here without Bambi. I would not be here without my advisor, my mentors in academia, and my mentors outside of academia, without the podcast, without all of you, without, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And it's funny, right? Because the only thing I have left to write on my dissertation is my acknowledgement. But
good luck with that long ass list.
But that's where I've been, because I think I've never experienced the amount of appreciation and gratitude I think that I've felt in the last week in getting up to there. Because of course I've felt appreciation and gratitude before, but I think like to reach such a huge milestone, I think that's why for me it's like, you know, one of our professors was like, oh, you should immediately change your email signature.
That's funny.
And I'm like, that shit doesn't matter to me. At least not right now. What I've been thinking about is all of the emotional labor, all of the care, all of the investment that has gone into me by my community to get to this point, to where, yes, I have these letters, but now I have a even further responsibility to do something with this, but I don't feel burdened by it. I feel like empowered by it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So I don't know. It's like a really, and that's why I don't feel empty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel really full. I feel really nourished. I feel extremely supported. I feel loved. I feel all the things I think that I didn't expect to feel.
Yes.
But all these things that are like, it, again, it's like not about a degree, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about like just the power of, I don't know, the power of community, the power of like
friendship.
Of all of it.
Partnership, love. Yeah. Friendship, friend love, and like romantic love. Like just love in general. Like how much love it takes to get someone to accomplish this.
Yeah.
Like you're basically an accumulation of all the love that people have had for you.
Yeah, and I think I'm starting to believe what people have seen in me for this whole time. And I think I'm starting to... Yeah, and not only starting to believe that, but I'm just like, oh yeah, like I feel motivated to keep going in ways that the imposter syndrome and my own thoughts like didn't allow me before, right? Because now I've kind of pushed through so many of those fears that I have receipts. I have a whole dissertation of receipts to show me.
Yes, bitch. Show that imposter syndrome your dissertation. Right. I'll be like, what were you saying again?
I might feel differently like in 3 months, you know?
It's okay.
When I'm in my full ass tenure track job. But right now, at least, you know.
It's a huge accomplishment.
It's nice to even be able to document that I'm feeling this thing that I'm feeling that I haven't really talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of where I've, and maybe this is why I've been in my head so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable. I also think like that's great to have the privilege of life presenting you a bigger challenge in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like to have the privilege of working through things and getting on to the next thing, right? Like I feel like, again, it just reminds me of this quote that I keep seeing everywhere, which is like, remember the day when you wanted to be where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there was a time where you thought this day would be impossible.
Oh, yeah.
There was a long time you thought this day would be impossible.
There were 7 years. This day would seem impossible.
And now you're like, oh, okay, this is possible. What do I think is impossible now?
Right. Because for so many years, this was the glass ceiling.
Right.
Right. So what do you do when you've ruptured that? Or like when you've worked so hard toward this and it's like, oh, my whole life has been like narrowly focused. Or not so narrowly focused, right? But
just so affected by this. Yeah.
On the, so much of my identity has been on like working towards this goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So part of me also wants to kind of not take a break, but I want to be able to do this in a way where my life isn't just about academia and like what does it look like to really nourish myself. I mean, like, so like last week, a few days before my defense, I went to Cumbiaton with my mom.
Shout out
to Cumbiaton and Funky and Sizzle and the other DJs that were there, but those are the two that you know I know well. And they had a Mother's Day thing, so I took my mom.
Yeah,
and I fucking danced for 3 hours.
My mom really wanted to go, but was like, "I'm okay." She was a little tired.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can understand why. I was extremely tired.
Aww.
But I think what I realized in doing that was that, like, man, I haven't danced in, like, so long. I haven't done things that I love to do in such a long time.
Did your body creak when you danced?
I mean, I felt like, I don't know, if you don't lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's how I felt for the first hour. And then into the second hour.
You only got, like, two good twerking years left in you, so you gotta use them.
So the second hour, I think I got back into it and I was like, oh, okay. It's like I warmed up into it and I was like, oh, I do know how to dance. Like I've always known how to dance and I love dancing, kind of like just realizing, and I love that I went there like 4 or 5 days before my defense and gave no shit and stayed there for 3 hours and like you had a good time with my mom and like I want to do more of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like stop taking myself so fucking seriously.
Yeah, because you still did good. You still did great and nothing happened.
And I think that's what I'm saying. Like I have receipts. No matter what, bitch, you're going to show up for your life. You're going to do it well. And so live a little.
One of the very famous Jack pep talks. I feel like this is like, look, bitch, you're live your life. Like in real life, you do this all the time. Yeah. You're like, look, bitch, it's going to be okay. You do them for me and for other people, but I know you do them for yourself too. I'm so happy and I'm like also kind of like processing it.
I'll just say one last thing.
Yes.
So what this has taught me and what I hope people take away from this, because this is not just like about a dissertation, but this is just like for those of you who are going through something that you feel is impossible, like it really is. It really feels that way and that's really valid. But I think like nothing is impossible. It's just changing our framework around why we think this is impossible, because everything that we need, everything, especially if you're working towards like a goal, right? Like this that feels impossible. Like everything that we need is within us to really move forward. It's just more about like,
is this
impossible because, is it because I'm not facing it or I'm too scared to face it? Or what really is at the root of the impossibility of making this something possible, right? And so, you know, for me, it was that. It was just facing myself every day. Again, my thoughts and my Word document. And so, like, really comes back to like don't ever give up on yourself. That's, you know, because I think for me it was like, it wasn't me giving up on the dissertation or the PhD, it was me a question of whether I was going to give up on myself.
Oh girl, well damn. You dropped the mic. I'm gonna have to pick it up. I'm just, yeah, I'm like super proud and I'm still here for all of this because I think it's important for people to know that it can be done and that it isn't going to be amazing the whole time, that there are obstacles, that it is fucking hard and real every single day. But what's important is to not give up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that up at all. I've just been really happy having you here. I mean, you know, you moved to Oakland last year and I've been there many times since then. But yeah, it's just kinda like,
it feels like I moved back. Huh? I've been here for,
you've been here for a couple weeks.
For 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. It does feel great. I, you know, obviously miss you and I think all of our friends can say the same, but I think it's, yeah, it's about having experienced this. It's bittersweet because I'm staying another year, but I definitely can sense a sense of closure. And I think that's what we were talking about earlier. Like, you know, it's, this time of the year can be a little triggering, I'm not gonna lie. Because graduations and, you know, people putting up their stuff when you're not done, like, you're just like, damn, it's gonna be my turn someday. So I just wanna acknowledge that, you know.
Did you just make a joke because you're really crying inside?
Yes. Oh my God. More, I don't even know what is going on with me lately, but I think more now, more than ever, my jokes have become really poignant and really like telling.
Cries for help.
Yes. I always say my jokes are cries for help. That's the most Sagittarius thing I've ever said. But I'm such a Sagittarius. I hate it. It's like my self drag. But I do mean that. I think that, like, you know, it's been hard. I mean, this time of the year is, in some ways, really difficult because you know, have to see family. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Like, there's this, like, we're all either rushing to graduate, meet all our requirements. Like, if you're in school at this time of the year, you're either checked out because you're fucking exhausted, or because I am.
Yeah.
Or you're like finishing up these really big things, right? Graduation for me, for my undergrad, felt very, very beautiful, but also so stressful.
Right.
Like, I took 22 units my last semester. That's not even like a little bit above what you're supposed to take 12, right?
Yeah.
So I took double. So what I'm saying is, like, I understand this time might be stressful. And I think for me, yeah, we talked about this a lot. Like, my check-in is just that I'm staying another year and that it's what's best for me and my dissertation, at least where it's at. And that I think, yeah, showing up for myself has been a process that I've started to do. And it's just hard, you know, like, I think also, you know, we talked about the job market before, and yeah, it's a lot of feelings this time of the year. And I just want to reiterate, like, take care of yourselves. Like, don't be too hard on yourself because other people are, you know, further than where you're at. I think for me, that's been really hard, not just with you, but, like, I think it's just in general, right? Because it does feel kind of bittersweet to see folks who you started this program with leave. Mm-hmm. That's always going to feel booty because, you know, they're like my, you know, my siblings. Like, you guys are like my family in grad school, mm-hmm. right? And we've grown so close, which is rare. So I think for me, I'm just like, damn, like, okay, now I need to think about my plan. And I think so much of showing up for me has been having a plan, mm-hmm. because before, showing up felt okay, but I didn't really know how to show up for myself, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I would say that if you're in a place where you don't know how to show up for yourself, but you want to because you're listening and you're like, oh my God, yes, show up for myself. It's hard and it's not easy.
And it's not fun sometimes.
No, it's not fun most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, showing up for yourself.
That's what I was trying to convey.
Yes. No, and I think you did, friend. I think you did. I think it's more like, for me, from my perspective too, is like, you need to have a plan for how you're going to show up, whether that means pulling in some support. For me, it meant contacting editors, getting my disc looked at by folks who do copy editing, because that part of my process was sort of, I hadn't really set up that structure for myself. Mm-hmm. Really just showing up to the writing. I was telling Jack, and my advisor was also there to listen and corroborate this information. But I remember saying in a meeting recently that, like, the only way to beat my guilt/anxiety about not writing was to just write. Mm-hmm. So the solution to the guilt and anxiety that I felt about not writing was just to do it, which is like the stupidest thing ever, but it's true.
But it's not.
Like, you just gotta do the thing that scares you.
Because the most, you know, of the anxiety is the fear of, right. It's more of the fear because you're not doing it, or you're thinking of what it's going to look like if you do it, or you're thinking about all the alternate possibilities. But it's like, if you just fucking sit down and do the thing, whatever the thing is,
right,
then you'll know because you'll have done it, and then you can actually.
It won't be half as scary as you think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you can move from there.
Mm-hmm. Just show up. Show up every day. And that's, I think, the best advice I have. And have a plan for yourself. Gather people who've done it before. Mm-hmm. Have them help you do a plan. Don't do this by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. I think people see the PhD as such a lonely endeavor, and it can be for a lot of folks, but it doesn't have to be for you. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's been like such a beautiful, like you said, example of community. And the best thing that I've ever done throughout this time is to just like pull in support from all different areas. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I think I took another lesson from one of our beautiful friends who's also about to be a doctor, like, in 24 hours. love her. She said, you know, her haters are her motivators, mm-hmm. right? And I love that. And I wish I put that into practice more, because we were talking about writing the damn thing felt so much better than, like, the defense, because it was, like, more fulfilling, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I did that, you know? I thought about, like, how, you know, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but my second year of my graduate program, you know, we have an MA PhD process. So we got our MA on the way to the PhD. Mm-hmm. And I was let go by an advisor 2 weeks before I was supposed to begin writing my thesis. And this was a horrible experience. I don't recommend it.
You had no choice in it.
No, but I don't do it. It literally happened to me via email. So I wasn't even able mm-hmm. to talk to the person in person. So I received this email about this person no longer wanting to work with me. And it was heartbreaking. It was horrible. I could have been pushed out then. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about how that could have been mm-hmm. the end of my grad program mm-hmm. or my experience here.
I think that's what the attempt was.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that this person said was, like, I don't think you have what it takes to finish a long-term project like a thesis or a dissertation.
Wow.
I know. And that really stayed with me. And for a long time, I think people can take that so many ways, right? You can take it as a proof, because imposter syndrome is always looking for proof.
Right.
So you... For a long time, I thought, well, maybe this is true. And now I'm at a point where, like, I've already finished my quals.
Right.
I'm almost done writing my last chapter of my diss. So mm-hmm. clearly, I am capable of writing a long-term something. and very well, actually. And now I'm thinking, like, wow, like, when I get this PhD, not if, but when, mm-hmm. which will most likely be this fall, when I finish the draft, I'll be proving that person wrong and it'll feel fucking good.
Yep.
And that's okay to be petty, like, for a little bit, you yeah. know, because there are folks who will not believe.
Oh yeah. It feels so good.
So if your haters are your motivators, or if you need something to think through, know that, like, it's okay to have a moment to yourself to be like, I know there's people who don't think I can do this and I'm just going to prove them wrong. If that's your motivation, then I don't blame you and I'm not shaming you for it. Whatever it takes, because
by any means necessary.
By any fucking means necessary. You know, Malcolm X's birthday just passed. Honor him. And Yuri Kochiyama. But I'm so happy, like, to witness the growth of my friends and to witness them finishing such an important part that we started. And it's like, it feels a little shitty sometimes to be left behind, but I'm not deluding myself in thinking that that makes me any different.
I think it's just like,
no child left behind, you know?
and that's the other thing too, right?
It's yeah.
like understanding, because we're all dealing with the transition differently, because it won't be the same for any of us, right?
No,
like,
yeah.
And it's also knowing that, like, that's where the even comparison comes mm-hmm. in and all of that, is like ultimately knowing that, like, we each have our own path.
That's right.
And, like, the journey may be different, but the destination is similar mm-hmm. in terms of the PhD, right? The destination is yes. the same. We're all going to get the PhD, but the journey to get there
yes.
may be a little different. But it doesn't mean if you do it in 7, or if you do it in 8, or if you do it in 10.
12, that... fuck it. I think.
Or 5, right?
Like, yeah, whatever works for you. Because I know folks, like, through this grad school journey, go through all kinds of life events. And, yeah. you know, a friend of mine just recently told me, like, she had to take care of her dad who got sick, or, you know, a lot of us experience life transitions and changes, and it's okay to take your time. That's what I'm realizing, is like, I'm so happy I get to have another year to really just fucking produce an amazing draft and have time to really process this, like, ending of a chapter. So I think at first I was like, oh, I want to, like, be with my friends. But at the same time, I think it's important to, like, understand you're on your own path. And I do want to say, though, that, like, your haters can be your motivators for some of the path. I'm down with that. Graduation season is complex and it has mixed feelings, but I don't want you to give up. So don't give up ever.
Were you going to talk about your sense of graduation? Everybody's using your print.
I forgot about that. Yeah. You know, every time graduation season comes, I get tagged in these beautiful photos of folks. I have this one piece in particular that for some reason really resonates with grads that I'm happy it does. It's called I Carried Resilience en la Frente. And I don't even remember how I came up with that, but I came up with that. I want people to know that. like, I totally was thinking one day, I was like, oh my God. You know, I've talked about it before. It's based on this, like, horrible thing that people say to each other. It's a colorist kind of saying within our own communities, Latinx communities, where if somebody tells you tienes el nopal en la frente, you have the cactus on your forehead, they're referring to how Mexican and particularly indigenous you look. So there, it's kind of like a negative thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that and replace nopal with resilience, because I think that Indigenous communities have been so routinely just attacked, and they've had, you know, they've suffered and survived multiple attempts of erasure and have still survived and thrived throughout. Mm-hmm. So I'm just happy that like resilience is still there. And I wanted this because I think that piece speaks to like graduation being such a resilient journey. Like you have to be resilient to survive until graduation day, right? It's not for everyone, and it's a process, right? And I think when you cross that stage with that cap, it just honors me that people use my piece. And mm-hmm. I think the message behind the piece is such a good spring message too. Like, you know, springtime is when things bloom and the hard work of the winter and fall comes to fruition. So it's when things flower and blossom. And I think that's a beautiful message for this time of the year. And if you're a grad, then you're blossoming.
And even if you're not graduating, you're still blossoming.
Yeah, you've just been planted. You've just been planted and you will blossom.
What do you mean? No, you're blossoming. Oh, stop undercutting yourself. Just because you're...
I'm going by the season. That's why I was okay. Like, what do you mean?
No. Because I want you to know, Angelica, that like, and others out there, just because you, okay, maybe you haven't accomplished the thing or gotten the degree or you're finished still good. The goal, you're still growing in the process, because I think the journey is just as important as the destination.
Yes.
Right? It's because it's what you learn
in the rusty.
Journey.
Yes. Okay, I got you.
Of yourself. What I'm saying is, don't undercut yourself for being where you're at, right? Not just you, but other people too, right? Like, because all of it is growth.
Oh, yeah.
All of it is growth. And I think that's the most important part. Sometimes that growth will be legitimized by a degree, and most oftentimes it won't be legitimized, because the ways in which we value our growth, it may or may not match the ways in which society does.
That's so true. You're right.
Don't forget that.
I'm trying. I was literally thinking about the piece and like harvesting and like the seasons of the year, but I think you're right. I think it's like you're worthy now. You're growing now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just have to keep reminding you of that.
I love you for that, friend. That's why I keep you around. For the reminder, for the very direct Virgo drag-ish reminder. But like, honestly, I know this is a short episode, but we just wanted to like come on here and like do a little update, do a little like, hello, we're alive. One of us is now a doctor. That's right. So now this podcast is 1.75 doctors. I'm an 80-90% of a doctor right now, but I'm gonna say 1.75 because it's easier to think about it.
Right.
But we now have 1.75 doctors on this podcast.
Okay.
I'm kidding. No, I'm honestly like so happy that we got to celebrate you, and it's such a beautiful time.
Yeah, and there's just so much to
process,
to think about, to you know, so much more to come. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, you know, I've been seeing people who listen to the podcast in different places. We went to Texas.
Oh my god. Yeah,
we went to Texas
State University in San Marcos.
Yes.
My god.
Shout
yes.
out to Bianca and Robert who
yes.
brought us out.
Loved
and
it.
And shout out to Tracy at UC Santa Cruz and Cameron who brought us out.
Beautiful time there.
Had a workshop, a podcasting workshop there, and mm-hmm. at TSU we did a keynote and some workshopping with folks, and it's just been a really beautiful experience to engage with folks that listen to our podcast who are not just in those spaces. Like, those spaces were really great, but then I know I've had a chance to really connect with folks in different places.
Did we talk about,
y'all know why I'm laughing if you're listening, those of you specifically, but
like, are you gonna talk about your Lake Merritt sighting?
there's somebody, and I'm sorry because I forgot your name, but there was somebody who like yelled at me from across the street, from outside, from out of their car, and was like, I love you, Jackie, and it was like, I listen to your podcast, and I was like, okay, I love you too.
I think we've find out they're a Leo because they came to the Santa Cruz
event. Yeah, they came to the Santa Cruz event. So shout out to them for
joining. Shout out to Leos in general for being that
extra.
Bitch.
Yeah. Just being extra. I loved it. I loved it. And also there was some folks at Cumbiaton who met my mom. Who my mom started talking to them. And then my mom's like, oh, let me introduce you then.
Oh, you're afraid to talk to this bitch? Let me bring you.
Right.
I know her.
So it's been really nice because, you know, sometimes I forget that, you know, that people listen. I don't forget that I have a podcast, but I forget that people listen to the podcast. And so it's been really affirming and, again, validating, but also just really nice that to be able to run into folks. And, yeah. And I'm always like, thank you for listening. I'm sorry we haven't put out an episode.
I know.
And everybody's just like, it's okay, do your thing. And like, you know, so I'm just really glad I've been able to interact with a few folks, not many, but like here and there, been able to interact with folks who listen and who are supportive. And like, you know, we always are appreciating y'all for just being patient with us because we got this PhD side hustle.
I think it's our main hustle, but we wanted to be a side hustle. Yes. I also wanted to say, if you're listening, that I'm bringing my art shop back very soon.
Oh, yes. I was going to ask you. You've been talking about it.
I'm doing some scheming right now. I'm trying to figure out a sustainable way to bring it back, but I definitely will put out prints for sale. Maybe not all of them at once, like I used to, but I'm definitely going to start making them available for folks in limited amounts. But yeah, if you've been like trying to get some or are wondering, because I've gotten a couple emails already, you know, hold tight. I'm trying to do something that is really just done well. I think at this stage of my life, I'm just like, if I'm going to do something like this PhD, I'm going to do it in a really good spot, like where I feel good about it, right? Like, I'm not going to like half-ass it or like be unsure about anything.
Right.
And it's such a life lesson for me. In my late 20s.
You're getting old.
I'm getting so old. I know. I literally have seen my little sister go from baby to 16. She went to her junior prom recently. I just want to shout out to Natalie, my 17, almost 17 year old sister who just went to prom. I can't even, like, that sentence sounds so strange. Like, you know, so definitely a lot of transitions, a lot of closure, a lot of new beginnings, right? This is kind of the time of the year to feel all of the things. And so we just thank you all for being supportive and being hanging out with us throughout this entire thing.
Yeah. And we, this sounds like we're ending or something, but we're definitely coming back with more episodes now. Yes. Now that this task has been accomplished on my end.
Summer also. Summer is my favorite. It's my birthday month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming up. Yeah. I love summer.
It's all my fucking friends' birthdays back to back.
I know. You're blessed to be among Cancers.
I know. All my fucking Cancer summer friends. So we'll be back. The summer is our favorite time to put out episodes.
It really is. That's when we started.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we'll be more consistent.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Coming back and talking about all the emotional labor type shit y'all like listening to. Tackling new things.
Tackling.
Or old things that we haven't learned yet.
I know. Let us know on our email. You can always contact us at andstilldoingapodcast@gmail.com with any type of thing you want us to cover or a question or whatever's on your mind. I still want the Janet Jackson corner to be a thing.
I heard from some folks that they want that, but you know, that means people have to share their suciedades with me.
I think people want to. We just need to put it out there a lot. Like,
because I think also there's only so much I can put out there, because in putting myself out there, that means I have to expose my partner. And I think that, like, you know, I've received some pushback.
That's why folks need to send in their sociedad, right? So that we don't have to volunteer our own.
Right. Because so at this point, it's like I'm volunteering or involuntarily sharing.
Girl. Listen, anyone who has a podcast has experienced the pushback of people around you going like, you can't say that shit. That's a conversation for another time. But please send us in whatever you want. We prefer sociedad because we have a missing in our inbox, but it's up to y'all. All right, y'all. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Thank you all for listening. Remember to follow us at Ansa Doing It on Instagram and on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me, Jackie, at Get It Girl, that's 2 R's, 1 L, on Instagram.
And you can follow me, Angelica, at my first name, ISAIBECERRA. Send us any listener questions or essays about your birth chart to ansaluingitpodcast@gmail.com.